good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz, and today our guest is Mr. John Flavel. John, when he's not busy as an instructor of convergent media here at Morehead State University and as an advisor for the student newspaper, The Trailblazer, is a freelance photographer. And it sounds like, John, that your dance card is generally pretty well full.
It is. It is. I think I do just as much of that as I do teaching.
Well, but it's something I know that you like to do. It's something that you've done for quite some time. I think when you and I first met, you were working. Were you a freelancer back in the 80s, or were you at that time working for the Independent over in Ashland?
I freelanced here while I went to school. I freelanced at my year in graduate school at Indiana University. And when I returned, I freelanced only for 2 months before, in 1989, before going to work for the Independent full time.
Mm-hmm.
So after 25 years or so with them, began freelancing again, and then this opportunity came at Morehead last fall.
How'd you get into photojournalism?
Well, photojournalism began with getting into photography, period, as a kid. Growing up in Europe, that's all we had. We didn't have television at the time. In the 60s and early 70s, television was very limited in Europe, so there was no entertainment. We had to entertain ourselves. So I became interested in photography because it was inexpensive. There were clubs. It became a social thing. And the photojournalism came after high school, between high school and college. I went to college late. And it became more interesting. I began to see that photography was divided up into all these categories. And I picked the one that I thought I would like the most, and it turns out I did.
You mentioned you kind of got into photography because there wasn't much else to do in Europe. It sounds like when I go to visit my grandparents in northeast Wisconsin during the summers, and they had television, but the only thing I could ever seem to find on there was polka and wrestling.
Right.
So I'm kind of surprised I didn't wind up in the photography or something
else.
Well, you found out
that when I say that we didn't have anything, we didn't have what Americans normally had, so you had to go out and explore.
Well, that's a good thing.
It's a natural progression to go from exploration and curiosity into journalism, and when you combine the two, the photography and the journalism, it made sense to me. It still does.
And that's a really good point, because there wasn't much else to do, so you had to do things for yourself and you had to actively pursue your interests. And I'm wondering, as we get more and more technical with our entertainment, when we talk about computers and PlayStations and things of that nature, all the stuff out there, iPads and Kindles and stuff like that, that we may lose some people to those things that might have been like you and gotten into something like photojournalism.
Well, it's possible. It's possible to lose people. I think that the new media and the new devices that come along are new. So they're being used by a younger generation to do their thing. I think that as these devices become part of our appliances, so to speak, people will journalism is going to be journalism no matter what device we're on. So I think it'll come back. I think the curiosity will come back to it. I mean, my classes are full, and that's interesting to me. But the basic canons or tenets of journalism haven't changed. Even if you're on Twitter and you want to report something, it's best to report it the old-fashioned way, accurately, honestly, timely. And I think people are starting to see, just because it was somebody tweeted something doesn't mean it was true. So the tenets of journalism are going to come back, I think, after the newness in the culture of these devices wears off a little.
Well, you have people who kind of have skipped to almost what I would say the advanced level of the course, in the sense that everyone seems to have a blog and everybody is a commentator now. They have places where they can voice their opinion. And I always felt like, for me, when I was getting into broadcast journalism, that was kind of the next level. I wanted to get into true journalism first, where I was actually reporting on things,
right,
and kind of doing it as a neutral observer. And then as you got further along into the situation, then you learned how to properly phrase your opinions and work from that standpoint. And And I'm wondering, a lot of people have now gone into that actual commentary where maybe they don't understand what true journalism is, and sometimes I think the lines get blurred.
Well, these devices exercise probably in our history the purest method of expressing the First Amendment. And the First Amendment doesn't say anything about being right. It doesn't say anything about well-thought-out commentary. It doesn't say anything about being smart. It only says that you can do it. The smartness of the commentary, the intelligence part of it, comes through the reaction of the media, the reaction of the culture. And it's the way it's been with every new device that came along. So I think after, it may take 20 years, another 20 years, I think these devices, which are driven or they're built upon the Internet, I think that it'll calm down and we'll be back to good old-fashioned journalism again. You don't want people to back off on their free speech.
No,
you
want
them to
be
more intelligent. You want them to be well thought out. And this in the hands of a 12-year-old who's reacting to something, could be reacting to anything, isn't going to be a well thought out, intelligent commentary. But it'll come. It'll come.
Like watching the recent VMAs and Miley Cyrus.
Exactly.
The
maturity may or may not come.
And obviously there was no maturity in that situation whatsoever. But what I do like about the type of technical stuff that we have now and the blogging and things like that, it allows for discussion. People will respond. If you put something up there that's stupid, someone's going to call you on it and say, Wait a minute. This is not true. You're missing this point. You're missing that point. You're wrong about this. Here's what I've got. So it's actually, perhaps in some respects, forcing people, I believe, to be more thoughtful about their opinions.
I think that it can do that. I think that once the reaction, again, we go through a cultural reaction with these devices and these abilities. I think once that calms down, the extremes calm down. It just takes a while for people to become as smart as the technology will allow them to be. It just takes a while. Mm-hmm. Remember when this first started in the mid-90s, Matt Drudge was all the rage, and it took him a while to calm down. And he has calmed down. He's nothing like he was, 20 years ago.
Again, it sparks discussion, and discussion sparks, I think, the need to have intelligent thought, because you know that you'd better be able to back up what you say because someone's about to respond. And so perhaps it does force more people to do research into, why do I feel the way I feel? And then when somebody comes back with an opinion and maybe some information that doesn't agree with what you're saying, you look and you investigate that, and maybe you change your opinion and say, you know what, maybe they're right and I'm wrong.
And the only difference between that situation and a situation where you and I would be having a discussion with the mics off, everybody gets to see it. Everybody gets to see that conversation move or take place. Another flip side to the social media, which has been, I think, really good for the world, We had the experience of the Syrian chemical attack a couple of weeks ago. That was reported first on social media. How Egypt and Iran and Iraq, how the people have been treated when they protest, that has been reported on social media, and it gives us a place. It gives a journalist who isn't in place yet an opportunity to go back and find those sources and just find a foundation for reporting later on. It's been amazing. And of course, every time there's a plane crash, there's a iPhone photograph.
Everybody becomes a photojournalist, in essence, or can be.
Well, everybody's always been a photographer because of the ease of it. It's like anybody can be a writer because it really is easy to sit down and let the words flow. It's how you arrange them and what the purpose is at the end of the day. So good photojournalists still stand out. Good photojournalists still have a reason to be there. But there's absolutely nothing wrong. And I've always encouraged it, without putting yourself in danger, to go out and make pictures.
Yeah. Well, when did you feel like you were pretty good and you actually could maybe make a living?
I'm hoping next week sometime.
Yeah. Well, let us know how that develops for you.
Well, when I was here before, we talked about the stages. You have you have a rise in your self confidence and a rise in your ability to make pictures and the plateau off. Since taking this job, I've sort of not risen any higher, but I think that because I'm not under pressure to make pictures every day or every minute of the day for a newspaper, I can sort of take my time now and shoot more of a documentary style. And I really love that. And that helps me, it helps me think that I'm getting better even if I'm not. In my mind now, that's all I have to deal with. I only have to please my discipline or my desire. And I like that. I like being able to sit down with a photograph and say, I really like what I did there.
Well, I'm wondering, I mean, there had to be some pressure in the sense when you're a freelancer, I mean, you have to hustle every day. I mean, what you get paid is determined by how well you can hustle and get people to buy into your idea, whether it's, you know, I know some guys who freelance to sports reporters and they've done various things. Hey, I'm going to go to the game tonight between, say, the Reds and the Cardinals, can I feed you some audio? Because, say, a source like ABC or perhaps the Associated Press will pay for a report and that sound. So you're looking to hustle. Where else can I send it? Who else can I send that audio to? Same thing, I guess, regarding pictures. You know, an event's coming up, they don't have to send somebody there. It's actually cheaper to pay a freelancer to shoot pictures there than it would be one of their own guys who has to drive all the way there or fly there, depending on what the situation
is. I think
the
last time that happened was a tornado in West Liberty. When I was sent down that night, the Herald Leader and the Independent were just so unsure of what had happened. And they were going to hold everything. They were going to hold everything until they heard back from me and one other reporter. And I did go down there, and I was amazed at what I saw. And two walks up and down Main Street through and around the rubble and talking to some people. And I would have loved to stay there all night, but I had a deadline, so I had to come back. And I picked it up the next morning, and I picked it up Monday morning, and it went on for months. I think that's that's really all I needed to, have confidence in myself. We have two newspapers, including the Associated Press, who had sent their resources somewhere else. It just gave me the confidence. These people were trusting me with their front page, not only as a photographer but as a journalist, waiting to hear back what had happened. Is it really worth our while to put that on the front page because of the uncertainty they had? And television wasn't getting out. There were a few crews there, but not even they were getting out because there was no power. So that is what led up to again, a surge of confidence, and I've been able to go back down there and go back down there and continue doing stories out of West Liberty, which to me is a very optimistic sort of, you know, people are being very creative with how they do things down there. So I really like that. I'm glad that they've let me in.
Hmm. When you mention the freelancing gig, I'm thinking about this now, and you talked earlier about being able to pick and choose what you want to do, how you want to do it, and right. I guess not the pressure of having to hustle for every buck. It has right. to, you know, and now you've got a regular paycheck coming in thanks right. to your job here at Morehead State. It allows you that freedom, and I guess that's kind of a nice thing. And you talk about stretching yourself maybe to the next plateau. Where do you want to go? How do you want to get there?
I'm not sure what the next plateau is. Right now here we're concentrating on getting the Trailblazer website up and going. And, you know, trying to find a bridge between the students here and people like Mark Maynard at the Independent and a couple of other places. We took over his website last week after the game, the football game.
Did he know it?
He knew it the next day. No, I warned him before that. So we're trying to do that with the Morehead News. See if we can give the multimedia team that we have, which is amazing, a chance to have their work online, at least try to enhance a couple of websites if they'll take it. It has our branding on it. Once I get that settled, I still have my list. I've had a list for 20 years of things, and stories swap in and swap out, and I'm starting to get to that list now, and that's what I really enjoy. Now I can get to this list of story ideas that would have taken too much time, or things always got in the way. So I'll be able to do that once I think once I get this little multimedia team and teach them a little bit about photography, because that wasn't being taught here as a prerequisite for multimedia. Once I get that moved in a good direction, I'll be able to slip back into what I really want to do. Nowadays, it's just been a hit or miss with good pictures. Last week, we went to a pool party with the multimedia people, and I made one frame, looked at it, and thought, that's the best thing I've done this month, and went and sat down. Insignificant to other people, but to me, it's what I wanted to do. Last night, we were at the volleyball game. I made a lot of pictures, but got to one frame, and I thought, that was it. I don't have to do any more tonight. That really hit it for me. But they got to work. They got to work until 12 or 12:30, editing video and getting it up online. There's a lot of gratification in all of those things happening at the same time.
We'll talk about this multimedia concept here in a moment, but we need to take a break. We're on the front page today. John Flavel is our guest. I'm Chuck Morales. John is an instructor of convergent media here at Morehead State University. He is the advisor for the Trailblazer, which is the student newspaper and student media outlet right now in many ways, and he also works as a freelance photojournalist. We'll continue with more on Front Page right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU's East Kentucky Small Business Development Centers, serving 25 counties from offices strategically located in Ashland, Morehead, Paintsville, and Pikeville. Experienced and professional business counselors provide assistance with business planning and research, financial loan options, record keeping, legal issues, and marketing. Serving the businesses who serve East Kentucky. More information online at morehedstate.edu/SBDC.
Welcome back to Front Page. John Flavel is our guest. I'm Chuck Morales. John, an instructor of convergent media here at MSU, also a freelance photographer. He advises the Trailblazer Media, multimedia source, which includes the student newspaper and also a website and some other things. And there's this multimedia concept out there, John, and I know that many radio stations and newspapers are kind of buying into that. If you go to, say, like, the Lexington Herald Leader's website, which is Kentucky.com, or the Independent, the Ashland paper, or the Courier Journal, you're not just reading articles, you know, the stationary articles. There's pictures on there, there's video on there, and they're having guys who are used to just being print journalists, they're actually having to learn how to do more than that. Sometimes they're actually shooting the pictures. Many of them now, I know, are involved with doing the video work that is posted up on those websites. And this is, radio stations are doing the same thing. We've changed our website. Now we've got pictures on there. And eventually, I think we'll probably have some video on there too. I mean, we're a little short-staffed right now, but eventually that could happen. But this is sort of this all-encompassing approach now that seems to be the new wave of things.
It's been a new wave for a while. It's been the Gannett newspaper chain, for example. When you go to the Courier Journal, it doesn't say the Courier Journal newspapers anymore. It's Courier Journal Media. And one of the things that they, one of the properties they happen to own and produce is the newspaper. That's how that's approached now. It's how it's approached at the Herald Leader when they have enough people to do it. Is how it's going to be approached at the Independent and all of the CNHI papers when they start to rebuild their staff, get through this economic downturn. But yes, multimedia is everywhere, and everyone, every radio station is doing it. Not every radio station, obviously, but television stations are certainly doing it. I begin to see television reporters make photographs with their iPhone while they were reporting and sending that into the office for teasing, to put it up on the website. So this is coming, this is what we're going to do. And every newspaper in America is now looking into it, if they haven't already bought onto it.
And I like a lot of it. Still, the one thing I do like about having a hard copy newspaper is the depth of the stories that you find in there. For instance, I'm from Chicago. Many people know that. I like to read the Tribune online on a regular basis, almost every day. But the depth of the articles, it's not what you'd find if you had the actual paper in your hands. And the other part about this is that they're trying to figure out how to charge for this. Now, with the Tribune, I know what they do is like they'll let you read certain articles. Certain other articles, you have to be, a premium member, so to speak, where you have to pay them.
Right.
And then after you become a member, then you can get into those articles, and they're usually denoted with little small blue icons next to the article. So I guess everyone's trying to figure out, okay, we're going to do this, but now how do we make money doing this too?
The Orange County Register, for some reason, has that figured out. I don't know what formula they use, but they have their newspaper behind a paywall. They still have their newspaper going out on the street, and they're making money. They're very happy with it. I just caught a glimpse of that this morning, and I haven't read the full article yet as to how they're managing. New York Times went behind a paywall. The Washington Post went behind a paywall. The issue with journalism and newspapers going or not going digital onto the website has been a fight for 20 years since the Internet came along and was available to the public. They paid billions of dollars to academians who never told them that it would be the Internet that would be the place for growth. And of course, given this was pre-Internet days, but as we went into the Internet being released from the military specifically to academia and then the public, somebody should have stopped. Somebody besides a guy at MIT should have stopped and said, this is going to be it. This will be the future of how news and information is moved around. Science fiction writers got it 50 years ago.
Well, here's the thing. I think sometimes you get tech people who are so into it, they're not really into the profit-making side of things. They're not mercenaries, so to speak, or just if you're all businessmen, people who see, okay, where's the profit in this? How can I make money off of this?
It was publishers who were afraid of it. Publishers who were afraid of it because they were afraid to think outside that press that they might have just paid $2 million for. They just couldn't think outside the box. Now they're being forced to. Almost all of the jobs that are being taken up by young journalists leaving college, a high percentage of, I mean, into the 80s and 90s, are have to be multimedia savvy now. It took a long time for that to come around. It took a long time for old-fashioned editors and old-fashioned publishers to understand that. Now, they can still make more money in the print advertising, but that's falling way off. They're going to have to make up for it on the web, and that's going way up. Hmm. I think in the nationwide, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think they are now at parity as to where the advertising dollars come in.
Well, we've got probably about a minute left. Do you foresee, at least in your mind, a time when print newspapers will be a thing of bygone days?
I don't know if it will be a bygone. It'll be different. I don't think every newspaper will be gone. In fact, we just discussed in class yesterday two Amish weeklies whose circulation went way up. They don't have social media. I think people like the Moorhead News or newspapers, the Licking Valley Courier, are going to have a different purpose than the Courier Journal.
Maybe the major market papers.
Right. And major markets, they can be very broad in what they do. But the Moorhead News and the Licking Valley Courier, all the weeklies around here, are actually much more important to the population, the local population, than the Courier Journal is to its local population. They are more important, so they are going to go by whatever people can get to. If everybody wants to read a paper, they'll give them a paper.
John, we're out of time. It's fun to have you on the show, and we'll have you back.
Yeah, anytime.
John Flavel, our guest today on Front Page, instructor of Convergent Media here at Morehead State University, and also working as a freelance photographer. I'm Chuck Moroz, host of Front Page. See you next time.